know who you came here to see. If you a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get loose.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The Browns' second day of their three-day mini camp underway. But before we get into the Browns, and we've got a lot to talk about on the Browns front today, and just a little teaser, another strong day for Josh McCown. Back-to-back, very strong days. Three touchdowns on four plays in the red zone, their first red zone session. A couple more on the first two plays. Big throws to Hawk, looking very good. The offense using Duke Johnson as a weapon in the red zone, flexed out wide. So a lot to talk about there. That was good. But let's start with the Cavs. Great season. Got farther than, you know, maybe some expected, especially given the fact that you were not going to have Kevin Love from after the first series. You were not really going to have Kyrie after the second series. And they were just outmatched by a Warriors team that was just deeper and ultimately more talented top to bottom than this team was that Cleveland put out on the floor.
Absolutely. Deeper, more talented, and healthy. You know, can you name the struggle that you've heard on an injury report by anybody from Golden State at any point in the playoffs? You can't.
Nope.
You know, you got to figure, Iman Shumpert's playing with a shoulder. LeBron's exhausted. You know, we've had a multitude of injuries to our star players. And I think LeBron James put it best last night. You know, some of the most talented players on this roster and talented players in the National Basketball Association were in suits last night. And that's very difficult. And I think it was just a steady, consistent dose of talent and depth got the best of us. And in some cases, you know, listening to the Really Big Show, there are some individuals on this team that I would love to have back, and there's others that I wouldn't mind, you know, them exploring their options and not being a Cleveland Cavalier.
I agree. All in all, just a great season. It was a great atmosphere last night. The crowd certainly did everything that they could. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it was just too deep. Too deep. You didn't get anything out of Klay Thompson if you're the Warriors. You didn't get anything out of Andrew Bogut. You got Andre Iguodala winning the MVP. It's the first time in the history of the National Basketball Association that a guy who didn't make a single start in the regular season wins NBA Finals MVP.
I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to win it from the series that he played. I'm just saying, of all people, Andre Iguodala. Like, the guy can't shoot free throws, and he's the MVP in the NBA Finals.
I agree, but other than that, he held LeBron James to, you know, 35% from the floor. Was a great scorer, huge threes.
Huge score.
He was money. So apparently there were 11 votes on it. 7 went to Iguodala, 4 to LeBron James, 0 to Steph Curry.
You got to like that. But I think also, too, you know, listening to Really Big Show on my drive in, the comments made by Steph Curry, you know, at some point either today or tomorrow that we'll air and, you know, bring a finality to the Cavs season. But just the arrogance of Steph Curry in winning his first championship and the way he talked about LeBron and him scoring and stats almost really brings to life the fact that, and it's a lot what people have been saying, is that the Golden State Warriors are going to let LeBron get his points and make everyone else around him beat them, which they knew over the course of 7 games could not happen. And as we've all, yeah, play that cut right now, Matt.
But it's all about winning. You know, stats really don't matter. I mean, guys have, you know, great series and all that, and people take notice and take their place in history with those stats and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all about winning and what you can do to help your team get to that point.
And he's right. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. That's why I didn't think that, regardless of the fact that LeBron James was clearly the most valuable player to his team in this series, that he wouldn't win the MVP, because you got to be valuable enough for your team to win.
And I think also, too, the comment that LeBron made, you know, even after last night's game, he'd rather not make the playoffs than lose an NBA Finals, you know. And I just felt like he doesn't want to be – he would rather not have the trophy at all and be recognized as the most valuable player, but also, too, having to swallow the fact that he lost the series. And it'd be – that would be the redheaded stepchild of the awards that he would have won in his career.
Well, yeah, Yeah, now he's 2-4 in 6 NBA championship series.
And as I, you know, your father who's joining us here in the Dog Bowl, you know, in from the West Coast, who's, you know, got a great large grin on his face after a Golden State victory last night and bringing home that world championship. We talked about on the sidelines watching practice, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, 2-4 in NBA finals as well. One of the, you know, the greatest scorers of all time, 100 points in one game. He's 2-4 in the NBA finals. The key factor is here, LeBron is still in his prime. And what's still mind-boggling to him and I as we discussed it, LeBron could get back to 3 or 4 more finals. So this is not LeBron's end-all from an NBA final standpoint. And also, too, Vegas, who you've stated multiple times in this NBA final series, always knows what's going on and seems to get it right somehow, some way, has the Cleveland Cavaliers the odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship next year.
And I think they are. You look at them being healthy. They're going to set the record for the most biggest payroll, most taxes ever for a team next year. But it was a great season. And when you really just watched it, you could just see the disparity in talent for these two teams. I mean, Matthew Dellavedova was exposed. And Deli Mania certainly was fun. It was like Linsanity for a moment.
It was.
But it was fun. But at the end of the day, that's not what was, you know, it's not going to sustain itself over the course of a series.
You know, and as you look at, you know, who the Golden State Warriors are, and it's so easy to identify what the Cavs were missing. Of course, you're missing your two-star players of the big three. But I think where a lot of the upgrading needs to happen is in those role players. How deep can we go on this bench? And I think this is a great learning lesson for the Cavaliers as a franchise with a player like LeBron that he can't do it all and win you a championship, which, you know, in some cases, Jordan never did either. You know, Jordan never won that championship without a healthy Pippen along with him or a Horace Grant, you know, somebody getting a double-double next to him every single finals night. So what you have to do is, who's our Sean Livingston? Who's our Andre Iguodala? You know, who are those bodies, you know, and can they play those roles for the, you know, the eight and buy in 82 games and be ready for, you know, a 25 plus run into the playoffs?
Well, if you have your normal depth, it pushes some of those guys down. I think that's the issue. Now, Livingston played 32 minutes, but if you're counting in a 7-game series, Livingston for those kind of minutes, game in and game
right
out, you're not going to get 15,
that. 15, 16 minutes a game.
You know, if you have Kyrie and Love, you're pushing down, you know, Tristan now. You're pushing down JR and Shumpert. Shumpert, obviously, once his shoulder got hurt, was not the same player.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just all in all a very difficult series for this team. This is an interesting question. Steinmetz, too, says, if the Cavs had gone up 3-0 in the finals, do you think the Warriors would have won 4 in a row, 4, 5, 6, 7?
I wouldn't doubt them from doing that.
Me neither.
And because
he said that would have hurt worse. And
it would have hurt worse.
Oh, my
And
God.
I think also
that, awesome.
Also that you know, the Warriors at no point this season lost 3 games in a row.
Yep.
You know, I think 4 or 5 times they lost 2 but would rebound. And, you know, after losing those 2 consecutive games, it was runs of 15 and 12 wins and 8 wins and 4
never
wins.
Never fewer than 3.
You know, never fewer than 3.
As Pedro, my father in town, pointed out last night, came in from the Bay Area. He did wear his Cavs stuff. He was not an obnoxious Warriors fan, but silent pride at the end of the night when the Warriors brought
him. He gets to rest his head at night knowing that he's got a championship trophy, you know, looming in his dreams.
As a player, because in football it's not possible. Well, I guess it is possible if all the stars align for you to win the Super Bowl in your home stadium.
Yeah.
It's possible, but I don't even know if a team's played in their home stadium.
I don't believe so.
So you always win, in essence, not necessarily on the road, but in very much a neutral spot.
Yeah.
You know, I felt for the Warriors last night. Everybody cleared out there. It was basically they won the title and were celebrating in front of maybe 1,000 Warrior fans, maybe.
Yep.
And otherwise an empty arena and an angry arena.
Right.
Did it matter? Did you think to yourself when you were with the Packers, oh, man, if we'd won this in Lambeau and this whole stadium was Packers fans, that would have been so cool, or do you not even think about it?
You do, but it's simply a conversation, you know, in passing with a buddy that brings up that point. You are so enamored with the pressure of first and foremost winning that game, then after winning that game, it becomes such reality and a breath of fresh air for you that you are, you know, the jubilation of hugging teammates and coaches and, you know, my thoughts were with my family and the, you know, the 18 of them that were there to witness it and the, you know, the hundreds of other fans that I have, you know, here in Ohio that have rooted for me since I was a young kid. And as always, as you talk to young people, just what you represent, when something good happens to you, because it's the same when something bad happens. And that's kind of how I've been in referencing, you know, Josh Gordon in a situation. He still has that Browns helmet next to his name. When he does something good, you praise it, but when he does something bad, it brings you down. So in a situation like that, it's simply, you know, whatever setting, you would celebrate a championship out in the desert with no water, because you get to hoist a trophy, and for that 364 days, you get to say that you're the best in the world and that nobody can touch you.
You know, this is obviously not on the level of your accomplishments, but for a person who doesn't play in the National Football League, being able to have bragging rights over your friends is just as satisfying.
Oh, it's the best.
So Monday night when the Miz was in town, we created the awesome fantasy football league, the AFFL. It's like me, the Miz, my buddy Vince is my teammate. We're the Sooning Snakes. The Mana Bros are in it. Rutledge, a lot of guys, my buddy Ricky, a lot of people from around here, all Mike's friends and people that I become friends with through him. And so when we won it, when the league was created, we wanted to come up with an awesome championship trophy. And we ended up creating, it's called the George.
Yeah, you talked about this. So, the Miz's dad's,
face is like the center gold plate. It is like a real WWE championship belt. Miz had the guys who make the belts for the WWE make this.
Yeah.
And so Monday night when we went to Panini's afterwards, Mike wanted me to bring it because he wanted to actually hold it. The guy shipped it directly to me because I was the champion, so he never got saw it. So I walk in, I'm like walking around holding it up in everybody's face. And like you said, for 3 years, like you can't say anything. You don't have this. I'm the man because this says so.
Yes.
Right here, the Georgia.
It's like the league. Oh, you know, the show, the league. Yeah. It's the same premise to what you're talking about. It's you and your buddies. You create something that's special to you that makes no sense. The other 200 patrons at Panini's were like,
who's this idiot
walking in
belt?
With some belt, you know, with some guy's face on it, you know? But to you and your world, there was nothing better than that moment. And they were all so mad.
And that's the equivalent.
And I've mentioned this to you before. Because I was, you know, released from the Niners or on an injury settlement from the Niners, ended up signing with the Packers. My wife and kids, because my daughter was so young, we were still residing in the Bay Area. And I remember like it was yesterday, I was at a Club One right there in San Jose, and they were going over like top players of all time. And LaDainian Tomlinson, they were like, and I kind of stopped my workout and I'm just like watching. I'm like, dude, I got to witness that for 6 years. Greatness,
it, yeah.
A Hall of Famer, you know, the MVP. And I text him, dude, I'm sitting here and I just played out the scenario. He said, I would give all that up and give it back to have the championship ring that you have, to have that moment. So that him being the MVP that 1 year and being the best player in all of football falls second to being the best team in the land for 364 days.
Why do you think those teams never got over the hump? Because you guys were as talented as anybody in the league. Like, what was the difference between those teams not getting over the hump and Green Bay winning? You guys went in as the wild card that year.
Yeah. Yeah, that we were the sixth seed. We were 14-2. I just thought we didn't have the clutch, you know. And I know you texted me last night that we can't make the big shot.
Yeah.
And what we ended up doing is we were a young, talented team that, you know, kind of like when you only lose two football games, it's like, you know, your poop don't stink. You know, it's like you can just roll your helmet out there. Especially, we got the Patriots had to win a game to get here. We're at home. Nobody's beat us here. And you just roll your helmets out and win, and our talent will persevere in the end. Well, you know, they made that one more play. And it's as cliche as it sounds, you know, the game of inches. Make one more play than they do. Win your one-on-one battle. And that day, the Patriots made that one play. They won their one-on-one battles more consistently than we did, which is why they hoisted the trophy.
Do you think it was because, like, a guy like LaDainian or Gates are so soft-spoken, you didn't have that? Was Rivers comfortable being that type of leader at that point?
No.
Did you guys not have...
He led by his play.
So you didn't have that leader guy.
It came from older guys who were more of role players on the league. That'd be the equivalent to like Mike Miller and Sean Marion being the vocal leaders of this Cavs team. You know, where, well, you're not on the floor, dude. You know, or you're not playing this huge role in this. It's like it's all on us to go do it, but you're just leading us. And it's kind of like it kind of falls by the wayside eventually when they're not actively participating in winning that championship. So we didn't have that killer instinct. We had the pompous arrogance of, we just won 14 games for the number one seed. There's no way we can lose this. Well, smack of reality. You lost.
Man.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very, very good teams.
Not fun.
No, not fun. But that's why you went to the Packers.
Exactly.
The Super Bowl.
It all worked out, man.
It all worked out. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into our observations of day two of this minicamp. And also want to remind you, we did a live looking at Browns minicamp, which is up on clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. So if you want to check that out, if you missed it earlier today, 30 minutes, Matt and I getting into a lot of the big storylines like we do here on this show. But we also had video and a live look at the Browns practice today. You certainly can check that out. So I think you will like that. It was a special edition of Dog Pound Report Live. That'll be up at clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app later today. So you can check that out. All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850. Call us up. Let's go and let us know, you know, what do you want to know about this minicamp? You can tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag mailbag. We'll have Mike Pettine's press conference today. We were told we were going to have Johnny Manziel's press conference as well, which will be the first time he's spoken to the media in a long time. I believe somebody said since December 29th, it'll be the first time that Johnny Manziel spoke to the media. So we'll have all of that for you here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.